Alphabet Man, tearing down the strongholds, exposing the darkness, wrecking the enemy's plans. Endurance till the end. It's time for the Alphabet Man Live.
Welcome, welcome. Welcome to the Alphabet Man Show. I am not the Alphabet Man. My name is Tom, and I am your guest host for today. I hope everybody is doing great out there. David Arthur asked me if I could do this show for him today, fill in. I told him I would. And, man, my heart is broken for David and his family and what they're dealing with. And just a reminder to continue to pray for them and for comfort and what they're dealing with. I was just sharing before we went live, I've been involved in making the film Fire and Brimstone about the life of David Arthur and his testimony. And I got to meet his brother last summer and just really liked his family a lot. And just, meeting his brother, his mother, and his cousin, and just these people that were involved in his life. And a lot of us know David Arthur. We know him from the show. We know him from his talks and from Coach Dave. But the idea of this film is I was going to go back, you know, and interview the people that knew him all his life. And, man, his brother Lee, he just had such an honest, you know, what am I trying to say? He was just so honest in his answers, you know, to the questions in the interviews. And he really just said, man, my brother started dressing like a girl and I didn't like it. And I was, you know, I didn't know how to deal with it. And we, you know, we kept our distance from him. And there was, you know, there was broken relationships, but there was also reconciliation. And it was, man, I just really liked Lee. And I didn't even know him. I only got to meet him the one time, but such a likable guy. And, you know, no doubts that Lee had plans for this week and next month, and had no plan, you know, to go the way that he did. And it's just a reminder, I think, to all of us that nobody is promised tomorrow. But hey, just don't forget, pray for healing. You know, that God would heal the hearts. And he had some daughters, and you know, of course, his mother and the family. We just lift him up into the care of our Heavenly Father. Guys, I just want to mention Occupy 2019. Don't forget about that. Coming up here real shortly. And, man, I'm excited about this conference. Coach Dave asked me to speak, and he gave me something to talk about, and I'm going to talk about it. I'm working hard on this presentation. The one I'm doing, Coach Dave asked me to talk about human child sex trafficking. And there is no shortage of information out there. And when you're making a film about, like, you know, David Arthur, there's things that happen that are happening in real time, you know, almost on a daily basis that fit with the film. And the same thing with the human sex trafficking. So I don't know. I'm excited. The speaker's going to be there, of course, David Arthur, Coach Dave, Russ Dizdar. My daughter's boss is going to be there, which is really cool. Mark Harrington, this guy, some of you guys know him, powerful teacher and a powerful advocate for, you know, for the unborn. Dr. Mike Spaulding is going to be there. And just it's going to be like a family reunion for many of us, right? So I think it's going to be an amazing time. And Coach has stressed this is going to be an event to get people to get boots on the ground. So I talked to a lady yesterday who didn't know anything about this conference but is going to be there. And just this isn't even kind of – I think she's going to be in for a surprise because she's, you know, not really part of this movement, and she really wants to see Coach Dave and coming to see me and some of the other ones. Don't forget about Mark Trump, going to be there, our buddy Mark. So, but anyway, guys, yes, my name is Tom Dunn. I'm the director of the film Fire and Brimstone, And I spent some time with David last summer and got to meet him almost, you know, it's almost a year ago at the Occupy 2019 or 2018. And that's where this whole thing started. So I cannot wait for everyone to see this film. We're working hard on it. And this story, and everybody knows David's story. And obviously it centers around his life as an ex transgender and, you know, tells the whole story, but it's a redemption story. It doesn't matter if, you know, sin is sin is sin. And God brought him back from the dead. And that's what this story is about. And it's going to minister to people from all walks of life. I really believe that. So I'm excited. And I saw, you know, the link is up there for anybody interested. We're running a special now. The first 100 people that pre-order the film will get the book, The Emperor's New Gender. Yeah. And Fire and Brimstone Film. It's kind of a mouthful, but fireandbrimstonefilm.com is the website, and you can go there and check that out. New trailer coming out next week. I'll be back with you guys next week. I want to go to Daniel chapter 6 real quick and share something with you guys. Chapter 6, let's start at verse 4 and take a look at what's going on here. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none. They could find none occasion nor fault for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. They said, these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Okay, guys, here we have politicians that want to conspire against a Christian, okay, and obviously this is before the time of Christ, but against a follower of Yahweh that the Lord put there in place in Babylon, you know, and he entered in, you know, I mean, it's an amazing story because Daniel was kidnapped. His parents were probably killed. They forced him to change his language. They forced him to change the books that he read, and they tried to force him to change his diet, but he drew the line. He's like, no, I'm not going to eat this junk, right? So here we have, okay, and now we have another king. And so They're trying it again. They are over and over again trying to conspire against God's man in this, you know, administration, so to speak. So I'm always telling people I get my worldview from the Bible. Okay, we can look to God's word and we can see how politics operates, how things go behind the scenes, okay? Here is a plot to bring down Daniel, and everybody knows what happens. They couldn't find anything wrong with him because he was a servant of God. He wasn't doing anything wrong, but they were like, okay, what does he do? What does he do? He goes to his room and he prays to God. So if we outlaw that, he's not going to quit doing that. We can have him thrown in the lion's den. And that's exactly what they did. And they went, they manipulated the king, and they said, and I'm just kind of paraphrasing Tom Virgin here, and you guys can go back and study this yourself. They went and manipulated the king, and he signed a decree, you know, and he said, okay, yep, that sounds like a good idea. You know, this weak-minded king, right, this spineless man. And then once they did that, then they caught Daniel in the act. They already knew that he was going to do it. He was doing it. He would go home. He would open up his windows, and he would pray to God three times a day. Man, how would our life change if we did what Daniel did and just went and had that kind of prayer time three times a day? Anyway, I digress. So had him arrested, had him thrown. The king was, he was like, oh, man, I've been tricked, but I did sign this into law. We got to go through with it now. And this is what we learn about politicians. This is what we can look at Pharaoh. We can see that he was surrounded by members of the occult. We can look at Herod. We can look at Pilate. We can look at all the political manipulation. So I wanted to, the reason I bring this up this morning is because I want us to understand what we're up against, okay? We're not up against anything different than what Daniel was up against, than what Moses was up against, okay? Moses was up against the number one political and military leader in the world, all right? And here we are, 2019. We're in the same position, you know, in a way, as those legends from behind us, those prophets, these, you know, these men of God that have, you know, the stories that we read, we're in a very similar situation. Now, we're not, you know, most of us probably not in any kind of political office, okay? But we are up against these same types of people. Are we so naive to think that those in political positions are not involved in the occult? That are, you know, I mean, we see it. We see it now, and we've known it, those of us, we, you know, who follow this stuff. But it's come out in an even bigger way in the last couple of weeks with all of the press that this new abortion law has gotten in the state of New York. I want to show part of a video. Jared, if you could go in about 3 minutes, and let me set this up, okay? And now, if you're seeing this, before I start this, okay, this is I was watching this last night, and I kind of want to share this with you. And I'm just going to give you a little piece of this, okay? And if you guys are very crazy like I am and you like to do research, this is a video of Kay Griggs. She is the ex-wife of a military general. And she does almost an 8-hour interview, okay, about the things that she learned from her ex-husband, who was a colonel in the military. Now, please, this is not, I'm not generalizing everybody who is in the military. The military is very compartmentalized, and this does not mean every single person in the military. This does not mean every single general. We don't know. But this lady, we're going to watch just a little bit of her interview. I mean, you decide for yourself. This is a very old interview. I believe she is very, very credible in the things that she says. So, but I'm showing you this so you guys can get an idea of the compromise that takes place in politics and know who we're up against and understand the blackmail and the compromise and why some of these things go on. Do you see what's going on in Virginia this week? Do you see what, have our politicians lost their minds? I mean, it seems like, I think that I'm never going to get shocked anymore, but then something else comes out and I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? All of these people, but it goes back. Look at what Moses had to deal with, you know, in the book of Exodus and all this, I don't know, insanity. But I want to, Kay Griggs tells the inside story that she learned from her husband, okay, who she got a hold of his diary and he spilled his guts when he would have too much to drink. And she was, you know, she was there at events with him and saw this stuff firsthand and talked to his friends. She is a whistleblower to things that went on in the military. And if you watch the whole interview, you will hear her talk about Virginia Beach and other areas down there, which are big military areas where she lived. And you'll hear her talk about the JAG courts and just the different people that were controlling the court of Virginia Beach and how people in the military would sometimes they would go up in rank, and there was only one way to do it. Now, we are familiar with don't ask, don't tell. That was the front of the military, okay? If you were a homosexual, you couldn't get in there, you know, then there was don't ask, don't tell. Well, the truth is that the upper elites were involved in homosexual deviant activity. So, and again, I'm not generalizing. okay? But this went on. We know this. How many times do we hear of a politician? It doesn't matter if they're Republican or Democrat. Every once in a while, we'll hear of something crazy coming out about them. And Jared, go ahead and play a little bit of this video. We'll probably watch it to the end here.
A lot on the phone. George sort of, you know, dismissed him because George was getting in with another crowd. George got into cap and gown, which is the same kind of fraternity. I mean, it's an eating club at Princeton.
Uh-huh.
Four intelligence officers.
Your ex-husband.
It's cap and gown. Would they have anybody involved that wasn't intelligence-oriented?
Football players and so forth. But I have a feeling that cap and gown has a lot of intelligence officers and boys who may have been raped. Of course, they'd never talk about it.
Right.
But I know that the initiation is, they get very drunk, and even in the Marine Corps they do that. It's called dining in. They have the shellback ceremony. They do a lot of homosexual enticement. The boys are, when they come in, when they're new recruits, they strip them nude, they violate their personal parts. There's a lot of that is going on.
What about
even now?
Tail hook.
Yeah.
Is there a connection?
Yeah, sure. Because this the cream of the crop is doing this. They're having group sex parties.
And that was a Navy operation too, wasn't it?
Yeah, but the Navy and the Marine Corps.
Of course, maybe we ought to, for those
that's another.
That tail hook, they don't know anything about. Tail hook was, refresh our memories.
Well, tail hook, in fact, I when I was single in Norfolk, I know one of the people who was deeply involved with tail hook, who was the captain of the Saratoga, was very much involved with this kind of behavior. I know a lot about I never thought about group sex. This is so awful for me to contemplate that these orgies are going on all over the Mediterranean, that the captains, lieutenants, the men who rise to the top are the ones who are picked to play the games, the pool parties, the nude pool parties. And they have secretaries who come in. I've talked to three guys, and of course my husband, mm-hmm. who went to these parties. But what they do is, and this is General Al Gray, who was the main prime mover, mm-hmm. They would go to a place like Aix-les-Roses, where Charles Caddock, this teacher who inducted, uh-huh. got my husband into it, he retired in one of these all-male party houses on the Mediterranean. I mean, that's where he, and my husband kept up with him all through the years. Mm-hmm.
But these sex parties and orgies, they're all homosexual in nature, or
well,
is there some heterosexual?
Off, they start off with what
That's
with
good,
the
Jared.
Wild
That's
secretaries.
Good.
It's kind of.
So I was talking to a friend about a month ago, who was from the Louisville, Kentucky area, and she began telling me about this outreach that they were doing back in the 80s or 90s. And they would go to this area in Louisville, Kentucky, where these homosexual bars were. There was an area where there was one on every corner. And they would begin to minister to these people that were coming out of the bars. And however they did that, I don't know if they did signs or whatever, or they just began to try and pray for these people. But what happened, and she told me all about this, is these Christians who were evangelizing down on the street corner, late at night in front of these bars, trying to reach these men with the gospel, they ended up breaking open a homosexual political scandal that was taking place in that area that went all the way to the top of the government in Kentucky. So, again, and I'm not picking on the homosexuals. It doesn't matter. The devil doesn't care. The politicians don't care if you're homosexual or heterosexual. They want you to deviate. They want to have some blackmail on you. They want to have something on you, okay? So, again, we look at God's word, and we can see all of the perversions. We can see all the things exposed, you know, and we think of Herod and the blackmail that they did where his wife's daughter came in and did the, you know, did the sexual dance for him. And what do you want? What do you want? Okay, head of John the Baptist. Okay, there you go. You know, you can have whatever you want after that. So anyway, I'm going to go to Timothy, 1 Timothy 2:1 here in a second, Jared. So guys, we need to know what we're up against. I think we're so naive to the, you know, to what those, just because we wouldn't do it or because we know that it's wrong or because we follow God's word, it's so difficult for the average person to understand what those people, what the people who are in charge of us, right, are doing. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. I have to repent because sometimes it's difficult for me to carry this out and to pray for the leaders. And it was real difficult. It's a lot easier to pray for President Trump than it was Obama. I'll tell you that right now. But in 2 Timothy, you know, we're called to do that. We're called to do that. I mean, I don't know if anybody knows what a prayer map is, but I mean, do you have a day set aside? It's overwhelming sometimes when we think of all the prayer needs that we have and the things that need to be prayed for. But if we just said, hey, every Monday, every Thursday, I'm going to pray, starting with the leaders in my town, start with your sheriff, start with the judges, and pray for them, okay? Matthew chapter 6 here in a second, Jared. And then I'm going to finish off here in a minute with the abortion story out of Louisiana. But Matthew chapter 6, is it verse 6? Yeah, go down for me. Right there. Okay. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. What we do on the street, don't get me wrong, is very important. But we're going to win this war in our prayer closets. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. What we do in secret, what we do on the street is the cleanup. But what we do in our prayer closets when nobody else is watching us is the real work. And we can't do what we need to do when we go to conferences, when we go confront people, you know, and I'm thinking of Coach Dave, and I'm thinking of Russ Dizdar and the other people, you know, that are involved in going out there. We're asking people, you know, Occupy 2019 is asking people, boots on the ground, get active, find a way to make a difference. We have to stand up against this. And we have got to intercede. We have got to do prayers of supplication. We have got to get our prayer game up because look who we're up against. Look at how these people are blackmailed. Look at how these people are completely compromised. And we are up against, and this is an understatement, we are up against a great, great monster. We're up against the enemy of our souls. And I always say that plan A was to kill Jesus. That didn't work. That backfired. Jesus was crucified dead on a cross, but he resurrected, then ascended into heaven. Plan B has been in place for 2,000 years. And I'm not a date setter, okay? I'm not saying, hey, we've only got a few months. I'm not saying that, okay? I'm not one of those guys. I know, hey, right now we need to fight. We need to pray. We need to ramp up our game. We need to show up. We need to do whatever we can. It is I never thought 5 years ago that I would have to have the conversations that I'm having right now with my 12-year-old son about gender and sexuality and these things. But it's something that I have to do, because if I don't, then somebody else is going to teach him the wrong way. They're going to teach him the lies. And I have to counter this. And I never thought, I knew one day, you know, that it was going to happen. But at 12 years old, I got to teach him on how to deal with this at school. So, I mean, all of these are little things, but I just want to give an encouragement this morning. Whatever you're doing, double it. However much you're praying, you know, ramp it up, ramp it up. We can never have too much prayer. We can never, whatever your devotion is, ramp it up, ramp it up. And I'm talking to me. I'm talking to me this morning. But guys, the word of God is a double-edged sword, dividing soul and spirit. We are in a spiritual war. And we have got to back ourselves up. When we show up physically, we've got to back ourselves up spiritually. And, you know, full armor of God, all that stuff, 2 Corinthians 10:4, all that stuff, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, taking captive every thought and making it obedient to Christ. Okay, so we are in a spiritual war. We need to show up physically. Don't get me wrong. We need to be there. But you know what? I'm telling you, if we're not praying, and if we're not in our word, and if we're not strengthening ourselves spiritually and putting on the full armor, I'll tell you right now, don't even bother to show up physically. Because we are going to win this war in the closet. We're going to win this war. Okay, we look at what Daniel did. He was one man surrounded by all these psychos. All these psychos. The government that were involved in the occult and trying to kill him. Okay, let's go to that story real quick. I want to talk about this. This is just current events. So this just happened this week. Louisiana, the Supreme Court, liberal wing, and blocking the Louisiana abortion law. Scroll down for me, Jared. So I don't understand what's going on, guys. But what state is going to be first? This is my question I want to ask. What state is going to be first? We cannot count on the Supreme Court. We cannot count on politicians. We cannot count on President Trump. We cannot count on anybody. We need to go to our prayer closets and call out to God and say, Father, intervene, soften hearts, take people out of the way. And what state is going to be first where we get – we remove all the abortion clinics? We have made great strides in the last year, the last 5 years, and 10 years, where we're seeing the number of abortion clinics just go down and down and down. What state is going to be the first? There's three left in Louisiana. We should make this a race. Let's get these things out of here. And then I'm telling you what, that's a victory. Praise God. It's our job. It's our job. We have to do this. Nobody else is going to rescue the babies. And I know I got to go, but that's when the fight begins. Don't think it's over when we shut these things down. What state's going to be first? What state's going to be first? Who's going to do it? Ohio, Louisiana, Kentucky. There's one left in Kentucky. Guys, pray. Pray like never before. I'm going to see you guys on Monday. Looking forward to it. Going to have a new trailer out next week for David Arthur's film, Fire and Brimstone.